This has been, I don't know how it is for you guys, but this has been a very fun excursion so far through these Ten Commandments, because it has been great to throw out everything that I thought I knew about the commandments and start from scratch, start fresh, saying, okay, forget what everyone else has ever told me about these commandments. I'm going to look at these from what the Bible says, what the original languages say, what does Jesus say about them, and really try and understand them much, much deeper. And I think we've done that as we looked at, you shall have no other gods before me. We kind of switched our perspective, looking at it from God's perspective and from that concept of idolatry. And that was very helpful for me when I discovered a lot of that information. Taking the Lord's name in vain, I think, has a lot less to do with saying, oh my G-O-D or gosh darn it, and has a whole lot more to do with living your Christian life in an open and public way and bearing Christ's name properly. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, I believe, has very little to do about worship. It does say something about worship, but it has more to do about greed. And I hope it's okay. I'm going to tell a story about my cross street neighbor, Mike. I drive home, and Mike's out there. He's mowing his lawn. And I'm like, Mike, hey, how you doing? And he said, you know, I really tried this whole Sabbath day thing, but here I am mowing the lawn. I said, well, you know, it's not really, you know, your job. And he says, no. See, because I went in and I told my wife, Darcy, that me mowing the lawn will increase the equity in my house, ergo I'm making money. And so I quickly rushed inside the house to tell my wife this new theological insight, and she didn't buy it as much as my wife didn't buy it. So darn it all, we'll still be mowing lawns on Sunday morning. But it was very, very interesting, and I think the same thing will happen today. I will do my level best not to take this commandment too far. I believe that in all these commandments, they can be taken to such an extreme. And I think pastors sometimes think, gosh, you know, if you think you're doing okay at a commandment, we've got to somehow invent ways to kind of, pound it a little bit more, or, you know, maybe you do honor your father and mother. Well, gosh, well, if you do that, we need to come up with something new. Like, you know, maybe we got to talk about your in-laws, or maybe we got to talk about honoring the governmental authorities. And we go beyond what the text, I believe, says. So that's why, scrap it all, go back to the beginning, we're going to examine this. And I will do my level best not to impose on you what the text does not say. I will give to you what the Bible says. At that, then it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with that commandment. It's not up to me, it's up to you. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we take a look at these commandments again, I thank you for the chance to study them. I thank you for the chance we get to grow in them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go through this material, that your Spirit would speak to us. I thank you that you apply these commandments to us in whatever situation we're functioning in. You enlighten them so that they mean more to us as individuals than just as a corporate body. And I pray that that would even happen today as we look at this commandment, honor your father and mother. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and prosper. So may you live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. The way I'm numbering the commandments, this to me just comes out as commandment number 4. I know in other church traditions comes out as commandment number 5. It just depends upon how you number them. But just for our sake, you'll hear me refer to this as the 4th commandment. Now, I'm sure at this point, all the parents are very sad that we had kids' church in Jesus' time today. Because it's like, how can they stay in here and listen to this? All the parents just stand up and cheer whenever this commandment comes around. And I think as well as it should be. When I read this text, there was only one major question that I had in my mind. What does the word honor mean? I think that's crucial. I think it is so crucial for us to understand that word biblically. And then it will open up a huge, vast array of applications for us. Now, at the beginning, honor took on a concept of fear and obedience. In fact, if you were going to read the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, it would read, fear your mother and your father. Now, this idea of obedience is very heavy throughout Scripture, And I'll just tell you right up front, I believe the commandment has much more to say than just obey. So please understand this clearly. Obedience is, I think, one part of it, one snippet of it, and then there's much more to be said about it. And so here are the passages I pulled out. Ephesians 6 picks up on that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes this commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. And of course, it goes on to say after that, you know, parents don't exasperate your children, and that's for another sermon later time. Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Sense of obedience. Again, one snippet. This sermon's not going to end here. Now, Romans predicts a time in history when bad things are going to start happening, and this is what it says. There will be a come time when there's slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Interesting. Next one. Same thing, Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus talking. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And then finally, from 2 Timothy, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. So there is this concept of trying, of disobedience. What do I have on the next one? I think it's Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 is very helpful. Please take note of this. Very important. It gives us an alternate translation of the word, and I think it opens it up a little bit more. Each of you must respect. Now, and also, look at everything. Do you notice the word change that happened? Mother and father. Not father and mother. Very interesting. God is very interested in keeping families together, that they be a mother-father unit. And you must observe my Sabbath. I'm the Lord your God. Keep going. I think I got a black side. I don't know why I did that. Keep going. Now, there were punishments that were to take place if a child was disobedient. We can't do this nowadays, so don't even try. I didn't bring a stack of rocks for us today. Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. Hold on. This is why I believe the commandment said, if you do this, you will live long in the land. I don't think it has anything to do with other types of longevity, right? You could compare, Adam, who was disobedient to his father, God, and he lived for 900 some odd years. And then you got Jesus, who was completely obedient, and he died at age 33. So again, I think that when it talks about you will live long in the land, there might be a quality issue there, but I think for them it was a very practical quantity issue. If you had disobedient children and they attacked you, they must be put to death. Two verses later, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. It was added on in the book of Deuteronomy. Keep going. Oh, Leviticus, sorry. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Okay, this should be the Deuteronomy. Here we go. Then it goes into a little bit more explanation. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a... What is that? Profligate? I don't know what that is, but he's going to profligate. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. Keep going. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Please understand. Yes, Irene. Really? Yes. You know, I didn't grow up Catholic. Really? Whoa, Nelly. Yeah, and it's strange, though, because we've swung the other way now, right? We have now gone, I believe, to the other extreme. Now, of course, I am talking mainly here about a younger family, but I believe people my age, people older that have parents that are still living, think this says a lot to us as well. We've swung the other way to absolutely disobey and disrespect our elders. And I believe that that's exactly what this commandment is talking about. Now, I don't know. Again, we're not going to go and pick up rocks because I want you to keep in the back of your mind the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. You remember that? The son disobeyed and disrespected his father, wishing that he was dead, took the inheritance, went and spent it all. And there is a thought process that one of the reasons why the father ran to the son when he saw him enter the town again is there could have possibly been an uprising if people saw this kid and they were going to follow this Levitical law that they should go out and kill him. And maybe one of the reasons why the father ran out was to prevent that stoning from happening. So there's a much different picture painted here. We don't follow that particular code, yet this commandment still, I believe, applies to us. Does anyone know the first time this commandment was broken? In a very blatant and obvious way, where a son disrespected his father and then a curse was brought down upon him. He disrespected his brother a little bit more than his father on that one, but that is a way. But there's another one that's probably a little more clear. There we go. Hand, that's what I was looking for. I'm so glad none of you said Jesus. Jesus! Oh, death! Oh, it's one of those answers. I can never remember which one it is. If you haven't been here long, that's right. If you don't know the answer to the question, just say Jesus or death, and you'll probably have it right. Turn with me, if you can, back in the book of Genesis, chapter 9 is where we're going to take a peek at. Genesis chapter 9. This is where we really see the first instance of a son being disrespectful to his father. And it sounds a little odd and awkward, especially to our ears nowadays. It is a cultural thing, but also I believe the way Ham handled this is a poor way. We're all there on Genesis chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 18 and following. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, which means he was a farmer, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. And please understand the context here. It's not like he's going in and saying, hey, guys, something's wrong with Dad. The idea here that it's trying to communicate is he goes back outside to humiliate and talk about his father in a very loud voice and disrespect him. Verse 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. They walked in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. You got the idea. They kind of covered their head and they walked in backwards. They probably saw his feet and then dropped the blanket and it was able to cover him. Well, their faces were turned the other way so they could not see their father's nakedness. Verse 24, when Noah woke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, which is very interesting. It's not like he knew it right away. It was told all around town, so to speak. He cursed not Ham, but Ham's son, Canaan. So that was the first instance of it. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Exodus, Exodus 20. So that was the first instance of it. We need to take, let me tell you what the definition of this word means. The definition of the word honor is a very interesting word. It actually usually is referred to when it talks about God's holiness. When we talk about God's holiness, often it's referred to as it's a heaviness. It's like a huge blanket that's laid upon us. Some people believe that's the reason why when people came in contact with Jesus and his glory, they usually fell down to the ground. The weight of God kind of pressed on them and the heaviness was laid upon them. That's the word. In other words, if I was going to translate this another way, I would say, lend some weight to your father and mother. Listen to them in such a way. Try and understand who they are. Try and take their words to heart. Let it be heavy upon you. So the idea of obedience is not quite right, because have we ever, we've done this and we've seen our kids do it. We've had children that are obedient but still disrespectful, right? You can have a little snot-nosed kid like my middle child, Jacob, who will disrespect me up and down but obey what I finally say because he's scared of the hand that might hit his backside. You can have obedience without a proper attitude. And the question comes, is that what God wants from us? No. It's the same thing when it comes to faith. He does not want people to come into the family relationship of God and be obedient and have a poor attitude as if they were baptized in lemon juice. People do that all over the place. They are so sour and bitter, and their attitude is horrible when it comes to their relationship with God. And I don't think that's what God intended it to be. He intended it to be a happy, joyous occasion where we lend weight and credence and credibility to what He says, which is why I take the Bible very seriously, which is why I search it to find out what He wants. I want to lend weight to what God says. I don't want to just read it and say, oh, maybe that was back then and who cares and culture and blah, blah, blah. No, I want to find out what it means so that I can lend weight to it and have my life changed because of it. I want to be obedient, but I also want to have the right attitude. And that's what this word really is truly trying to get to. There's also another aspect to this idea of honoring your father and mother. And that comes, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 15. Because apparently some people had taken their religiosity to such an extreme that they did not take care of their parents. This will apply greatly to us who have parents that are older in the years where they might need to have a caregiver provide for them. Matthew 15. I hope I'm right. Yes, I am right. Are we all there? Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. It was a ceremonial law. It wasn't just a cleansing law. But you were supposed to wash your hands ceremonially so that you were clean to eat the food. And apparently the disciples weren't doing this. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Did you catch the meaning? The idea here is you have your father and mother needing to be taken care of in a financial way. And what was happening was these people in their piety would say, I don't need to take care of my parents because the money I need to give to the church. And the church, I've been told I need to tithe 10%. So I'm sorry, mom and dad, I don't have the funds or the resources because I'm giving to the church. And God says, wrong. That's not how it's supposed to happen. If you have parents that are in need of being taken care of, it is our duty and responsibility, yes, dare I say, the first pastor in America to say, don't give money to the church then. Don't give money to the church if you need to take care of your parents. Because apparently that is exactly what Jesus is saying. Now, obviously, if there's a way to take care of them and continue to fulfill your obligations, to the church in financial giving, then that should be the ideal. But we never disrespect our parents and dishonor them by watching them have to flounder around on their own. Why is this commandment important? I could talk about this, I could talk about the words, but if I never get to the reason why, I don't think you'll ever really take it to heart. And I found out two major reasons why we need to keep this commandment. I don't know about you, but my father has some really annoying habits. Does your father have annoying habits? Your mom have annoying habits? One of them that I can't stand, and I don't know why. It's not my father's fault. He sneezes really loud. We're just sitting watching TV. I mean, just as it will, it scares the neighbors. The house next door jumps. I can't stand that my father does. I would like a little warning, please, Dad. If at all possible, can you warn me the next time you're going to sneeze so I can plug my ears and take cover? My wife has told me that sometimes I sneeze too loud. And if at all possible, could I warn her before the largest comes out of my mouth? You know what I'm getting at, don't you? Yes. They told me, Mark, if you marry Heather, and you want to know what she's going to be like in 20, 30, 40 years? Look at her mom. She will become that. My dad has some annoying habits that I just can't stand. And every day I grow more and more into the role of my father. In other words, if I honor my father and mother, what I am essentially honoring is myself. Because if I disrespect that, then I'm also disrespecting myself. And there's a lot to be said there. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with it, not because their neighbors are bad, but because they have a hard time loving themselves. If you disrespect your parents and you don't like who they are, you're in for a world of hurt because you will grow into that and you will hate that. And you will hate being who you are. Second thing, I had the joy and privilege of choosing my wife. No one put a gun to my head and said, marry her. I have the joy and privilege of choosing my friends. If a friend is not very friendly to me, I can always leave my friend. I have the joy of choosing a church. If I like the church, I can stay there. If I don't like the church, I can get up and leave. Stay where you're sitting. We have lots of choices in our life, but there is one choice that we don't have. We cannot choose our parents. And so you have to theologically ask the question, how did I get these parents? Who gave them to me, or who gave me to them? The answer? God. Jesus. Death. God. That's right. God was the one who through time, space, and eternity chose you to have your parents. If you don't like it, take it up with him. And let's see who wins. This is important. I never really understood this till I started looking at this. I'm like, my goodness, if I disrespect this, I'm disrespecting the choice that God had to give me to them. And I can't do that. Because theologically, I know God's just a shade smarter than I am. He has a much better perspective of things than I do. And there must be a reason, a very important reason, for me being the son of Tom and Betty Manning. And I don't look on it as a chore anymore. I don't look on it as a burden anymore. Sometimes I still don't know why I was born into this family, but I continue to praise God because of it. You can't choose your folks. You can't even choose your kids, can you? But God has brought you two together for a very important purpose. This is the same reason why we sometimes make the jump into governmental authorities. If we are to take the scripture seriously, it says no government has been established except that which has been established by God. Some people have a hard time with that. Maybe when Clinton was in office, maybe you don't like George W. Bush. It really doesn't matter because God has set that up. And we should always have a tremendous amount of respect for those people. Very, very important. Every time this commandment comes up, I know that I unfortunately have to delve into a subject that is not so pleasant. Because I know that human beings are fallible and sinful and make horrible mistakes, some of us make worse mistakes than others. And I don't know your dad. And I don't know your mom. Yet I know that abuse happens. I know that parents sometimes don't keep the best interest of their children in mind and end up hurting them physically, emotionally, sexually. And it's really hard for me to preach this to you because it's, what do you say? What do you say to someone who has been abused and mistreated by their father? You get to this commandment and the mind checks out. You don't even want to think about it. And I completely understand. And I'm not going to sit here and try and understand it. I'm not going to sit here and try and hammer it into you saying, well, God said so, you better do it anyway. All I can tell you is this. If your parents are that way, you have another set of parents. Our parents might mess up, but we have a father that never messes up. You could have the absolute worst childhood, but guess what? Your father in heaven wants to be there for you. And it's so hard. It's so hard to try and understand what does it mean to respect and honor. What does it mean to forgive when your parents have treated you in that manner? And all I can say is this. The person walking around with the pain is yourself. And God never intended that to happen. God doesn't want us walking around with pains and guilts and burdens from stuff that we have absolutely no control over. And I believe that there is a quality issue when it says that God wants you to live long in the land. I think there is this idea that he wants you to have a good life. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have joy and so that your joy might be complete. And if you have had a parent that has been abusive, my advice to you is to forgive and turn instead to your Heavenly Father who will provide for you perfectly. And there's really nothing else to be said there. I can't say I know that Jesus was hurt. Maybe we've all seen the Passion. And he was hurt. And it says that it pleased the Father to smite his Son. That's not talking about the abuse that we're talking about. When it said, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was an abandonment issue, but it wasn't usually for the abandonment issues that we face with when our parents leave us. Those issues were a salvation issue. Sometimes the issues we face are because of human frailty and poor human choices. So in some respects, Jesus does understand, and he wants to be there. And he wants people to honor each other. It is true that you can sum up the commandments in one simple way. love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor, which includes your parents, as yourself. For those of you that don't want to do that, you're going to have problems. It'll happen. Parents or kids that are disobedient and disrespectful, it seems that there is this generational sin that continues on, that you might end up with absolutely rotten kids yourself and disrespectful kids, and it hurts. Or you can make the choice today to break all of that and say, you know what? Sometimes I think my parents are doofuses, but I'll respect them anyway. Because isn't that life? We all have people over us in authority. We all have bosses that sometimes are disrespectful or idiots, but we still respect them. We go through college and we end up with teachers that are horrible. And you still have to fight through it. And you might end up with parents that aren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. The wheel is spinning, but the hamster is dead. You are still supposed to respect them. And God asks you to honor them because He wants honor to reign. Last week, as we talked about borrowing traditions, and we all thought that the Mexican tradition of the siesta was something that we should invoke here in America, I think the honor system in the Orient is something we can all take a lesson from. They truly respect their elders. I think that's something for us. And if you have the opportunity to honor your father and mother and you have no problem with it, then fabulous. I'm not going to lay any guilt trips on you. Rejoice that you have parents, because some people would kill for them. Rejoice that you have a house and that you have love, because some people don't experience that. And if you've had a bad childhood, maybe today's the day to let go so that you can turn to your Heavenly Father for help. Let's pray. Father, I know that there's been times in my life that I looked at my parents and I did not honor them. I did not give one ounce of weight to the things that they said. Lord, I'd like to think that I was an obedient child, but I know my attitude stunk. And you're not just into works. You're not just into actions. You're also into the heart. You don't want to just transform us on the outside. You want to change us on the inside. I want to thank you, Lord, today for my parents. I know they're not perfect, and I know I wasn't a perfect child. Yet for some reason, you brought me to them, and you brought them to me. And I thank you that I had a loving, safe home to grow up in, that I had a Christian environment in which to be around. And I pray, Lord, that I would continue to honor them, that I would listen to them, that I would understand them, that I would take care of them if the need ever arises. I pray, Lord, for those people who don't have a model to follow. Maybe they were abandoned by their parents. Maybe they were abused. Maybe they were screamed at every single day. Maybe they were told that they were worthless, unwanted. And I pray, Lord, that you would come in with the only thing that can clean that, and that is Jesus Christ and His love. And that you would come and wash that sore spot, clean it out. So Lord, we may not be able to follow that parent in this world, but we can follow you. And we know that you can take care of us. We don't have to listen to earthly parents that tell us we're worthless, when we can listen to our Heavenly Father and hear how worthy we are and how much you love us. We don't have to listen to earthly parents tell us that we're unwanted or unneeded, because you are willing to die on the cross for us. You're willing to sacrifice it all so that we could be with you. And Lord, that makes me feel wanted. And help us, Lord, to change this, to change the disrespect and the disobedience that happens throughout this world. And Lord, I also pray for parents that are are facing this maybe on a daily basis. Maybe their children are hard to live with or hard to deal with. I pray, Lord, that you would still give us the spirit and the love of the prodigal son's father. That when they return, we're not the first person to pick up the stone and hurt them, but we're the first person to throw out our arms and embrace them. And I pray, Lord, that parent-child relationships would be mended and healed, that love would reign. And I pray, Lord, that that would continue on throughout this generation and into the next, that we don't have to have sitcoms about how to be disrespectful, but we could celebrate the fact that we are respectful and that we honor them. And I praise you for my father and my mother, and I praise you for you, my Heavenly Father. And I thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.